Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Founders Grit sponsored by Gaper.io. I'm Zanera Baskhan and today we have Chris, the CEO of Spring with us. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Zan. Great to have you. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you. So, Chris, how about you tell us a bit about yourself and your company?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, so I run Spring. Spring is the largest creator commerce platform, which allows creators to be able to build their own stores, their own ecosystems online, and connect directly to social platforms. So specifically, if you think about YouTubers or Instagrammers or any type of creator, they can build their own commerce businesses using our product. So we've been around for about 8-9 years now. We're founded in San Francisco. I'm based in San Francisco, but originally I'm from the UK. And I've been out here for 4.5 years now. And the company is about 450 employees in total. We've done over $1 billion in lifetime sales, so pretty big size in terms of an organization. And the business has been growing incredibly quickly. 2020, we grew 55% year over year. So definitely kind of the changes in kind of the world of kind of COVID pandemic certainly had an impact on our business, but it's been really, really exciting growth period for us as well, which is brings up a ton of challenges, which I'm sure we're going to talk through and kind of get into. But as a platform, you know, we continue to grow, which is very exciting.
So Chris, many companies have been forced to go remote, right, since the pandemic started. Have you guys been forced to go remote as well, or were you guys remote since day one? How did you incorporate the idea of remote in your mode of working?
Yeah. For us, it was challenging because there's multi layers, like different components to the way our business is built. So we have, an engineering e-commerce part of our business, which is very much at the very kind of exists where it can be a lot more remote, but we also have like a fulfillment component to our business as well. So things like actual warehousing and distribution centers and those types of things, which is much, much more difficult to be able to go remote. And then probably the other piece is we're also growing very fast that we needed to hire a lot of people. So going remote for us was like a kind of multifaceted problem. We as a business did kind of shift to all non-fulfillment. So all non-fulfillment side has gone fully remote. It's probably not going to be the long-term future of how we see our business, but there's definitely always going to be an aspect that's retained to be able to go remote. An interesting part for us though is that the creators on our platform, so when I talk about creators, I mean people who are running their own individual businesses and their own businesses on the platform, they are all remote. So, you know, we have millions of creators all over the world who operate totally remote in that way. So we think about it really holistically around the initial challenges that we faced back in the pandemic, but we also think like kind of the future of the way the world is probably going to unfold. And we see remote is obviously going to be a much bigger portion of what we do. But we're also always going to retain some of the kind of the in-person, more like a hybrid model, I would say.
Yeah, I've been like getting that answer from a lot of people. Like a lot of people think that the hybrid mode of work is the future. So yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. The way we think about it is kind of like small and local rather than big headquarters. And by small and local, what we mean there is, can we build small spaces, like really small spaces that could sit, you know, 5 to 10 people, or maybe they're not even fixed offices. Maybe they're more like studio spaces, like creative spaces, but more like kind of drop in. So, you know, you can be remote, you can work totally remote, but you've got kind of like that breakout space to be able to go and visit. And that's probably more the structure that we're thinking through is like what's going to make sense for us. And not just us, but also like the creators who use our platform. Like maybe we could give them a space to be able to come and work creatively as well. And we want to do that in like in lots more places, whereas previously we had San Francisco, we had a headquarters on the East Coast, we had an office in London. We're thinking about could we actually have smaller, more like but more spaces all over the world.
You know, that's actually what we do at Gaper as well. We have an office and it's up to you if you want to go or not, if you want to interact or not. Otherwise it's like remote, but we have like an office space as well. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
I think, I don't know, Zon, I think that the commonality between maybe where we go in the future is actually going to be more around creativity. Because I think one of the things we hear, we think remote really works with people when they're really focused on the task at hand. And we've seen this before. It's like, you know, if people know what they're doing, being remote isn't that much of an issue. You can get on with those work, get on with the work. They can kind of really, you know, like increase their efficiency in that way. But when it comes to more creative tasks, so it could be things like strategy or planning or brainstorming creative ideas, that feels more difficult when done remote because you miss some of the kind of like the vibe in the room almost. So we definitely see that as like an opportunity to build spaces that like really force creativity rather than just like come in and do all of your meetings all day and don't get any work done.
So Chris, what do you think needs to be done differently to make remote work even better and more effective? What steps do you need that you think needs to be taken?
Yeah, I think that the biggest one for me is like obviously technology continues to improve, whether it's Zoom or Hangouts or Slack or any of those tools. I think technology is going to continue to improve. I think for me, you know, we're a global company, so time zones is still such an issue. And someone thinking about time zones in a better way. You know, we've got this concept in our business, which is like passing the baton. And it's this idea of like, well, this office is on a different time zone. And therefore, and you know, in San Francisco, we're kind of almost like the last time zone being Pacific time. I think there could be some really clever tooling that could be done, which was like with time zones in mind to make like the transition a bit smoother. And I don't really see many tools or products or services on the market that help on time zones. In fact, it just becomes like, it becomes a bit of a drag of trying to like coordinate all these different times.
Okay, Chris, I have to ask this, I'm sorry, but I am a curious person. I just want to know how you came up with the name Spring. Like Spring, when you hear the word Spring, many other things come into your mind. Like, is it the season? Is it just the mechanical part? What? Why? Like, how did you come up with the word Spring?
Yeah, great question. We've just gone through a rebrand. So originally the company was called Teespring because we were kind of in the very beginning, we were all built around this idea of apparel and like crowdfunding, like creating products. So the business was called Teespring in the very beginning. The move to Spring, actually you kind of nailed it in a lot of your description. The word Spring has just like has loads of really interesting meanings. So like newness and kind of newness of the season and creativity of ideas and all those different things. But it also works at like a real mechanical level of like supporting, elevating, propelling forward, all these great kind of verbs and kind of visualization in the way we think about our relationship to our creators. So the creators who come onto our platform, they need that support. They need, you know, the tools and to be propelled and elevated forward. So Spring just felt like a really great name for us to almost explain our value proposition, but just in one word. And it also was like a direct link to what the company was founded on. But yeah, it's been a great process and really, really well received.
You know what? I got to give you this compliment. I absolutely am in love with the name. Like the
There we
whole
go.
idea, the beginning of something
Ah.
new. I love that. I absolutely love that. That's
Well,
very
you've got
creative.
one. Exactly. And I think, like when speaking, when thinking about brand and thinking about messaging to creators, it felt like there was some really important needs that creators were telling us that they needed. So we kind of took their needs and tried to think of a word that kind of spoke to that. And I always think they're the best brands that can kind of directly relate to, the creators that they're trying to serve.
Okay,
I think
Chris,
there's,
moving towards the last question, sadly, because I absolutely love talking to you right now. Like, you have such creative answers. And after listening to the whole story behind Spring, I just want to talk and talk and learn more. But yeah, sadly, we have to go towards the last question.
No problem.
Okay, so there are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products, especially for startups. How important do you think such setups are in the startup world and for founders looking to quickly hire smart?
Yeah, I think critically important. Certainly, where I've kind of seen it done is kind of at a very early stage, it makes a ton of sense, right? If you want to get a product to market, you want to move quickly. Hiring is a full-time role in itself. We see that all the time. It's just like to scale teams takes so much energy and effort, and you can never really guarantee that you get it right either. So there are so many benefits to having kind of remote workforce like in play. I think that the big kind of next evolution for that is how do you build companies with remote workforces in mind longer term? I think we've kind of been conditioned over the past maybe 20, 30 years that you have to own everything within an organization. So outsourcing always becomes something that like it feels like there's a potential stage gate where you go through that then becomes less relevant. But I believe like that's the next kind of frontier really is companies actually building themselves to be almost remote first as like a concept. I think that could be just a really interesting way to think about businesses in that way. But this it still feels like there's some way to go. I would come back to the time zone problem. I think that's one of the biggest issues that we have today is that we're globally distributed in terms of employees all over the world, and we haven't quite figured out how to what the optimum way to work is. And one of the big reasons for that, I think, is time and time zone and like how those different kind of departments work together. So that's really the big focus I think we look at when we think about remote is how do we make sure that the company doesn't lose its pace and doesn't lose its speed? Because that's kind of probably one of the most important things for us is making sure that we can operate at that the same cadence and speed that we would if we had people in-house.
Well, Chris, thank you for coming to our show. It was an
No problem.
absolute pleasure talking to you, and it was an absolute pleasure having you on here today.
Thank you so
So,
much. It's been
yeah,
great.
thank you so much, Chris. Have a great day. Have a great week ahead. Thank you so
Thank you,
much for
Zen.
all the knowledge. It
No
was
worries.
honestly a pleasure.
No problem. Nice to meet you, Zen. Speak soon.
Speak to you soon, Chris.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.